but God is good tonight. And we came here on business for the King. And I was praying in the wee hours of this morning, actually. And I came to certain people, particularly in families, that people that it's going to take something other than just hearing the gospel in and of itself in order to bring them to salvation. People that are hardened in their heart, that are not drawn because of God's love. And I couldn't pray for them that they would just get saved. I couldn't just say, save them. I had to pray differently. Because God is not going to be able to save anybody who isn't concerned about their soul and its destiny. Did you hear me very clearly tonight? God cannot save anybody that isn't concerned about their eternal soul and its destiny. You don't get saved just so you can join the church and whatever. You get saved because you understand that you're lost first and that you need a Savior. So I prayed some prayers that were different from the normal prayers of intercession in order to see souls plucked out as firebrands. Actually, it said pulled out of the fire in the book of Jude, but in the Old Testament it talked about being plucked out of the fire as a firebrand. Barely escaping judgment, but being pulled out because of a merciful God who, and I love this about the Lord, it is not His will. And make no mistake about this, it is not His will that any should perish, but that all would have eternal life. There's only two places to go when we draw our last breath. Only two places to spend eternity, according to the Word of God. That's very serious business. Can you say amen? There are preachers that have publicly stated and proud of it that they will never mention any place but heaven. They don't even talk a lot about heaven. It's all about here. But they certainly are not going to talk about a place of punishment. Although Christ talked about hell more than heaven in the New Testament. He talked about that place because He wanted men to understand if you reject His offer of salvation, where you're headed. So He didn't mince words about that. He didn't flinch because that's the reality. That's the whole truth. Amen. And I want to see people go to heaven. And we had a saying at our church that, Lord, please save the lost at any cost. And you have to really have that perspective to pray that prayer. I don't want any of my loved ones to suffer. But at the same time, amen, I don't want my loved ones to. And please don't pop the top on a can once we start into the service. Okay? All right. Just so we know. And cell phones and all the other stuff. Because this is a very serious thing that we're about to embark in tonight when we begin to pray in just a few moments. There may be a person in this room that someone's eternal destiny is depending on you walking out and living out the Christian life, that someday they may call you. Amen. They may want to talk to you, or they may remember on their deathbed your life that spoke for Christ. Amen. And I want to live for the Lord tonight. I want to see people saved. And I want to see families saved. And I want to see some real hard cases encounter the living God and whatever it takes to get them into God's kingdom. I understand the destiny of the soul. I've read enough and I've met enough people and I've heard enough testimonies that I don't want to see anybody lost tonight. But last night as I prayed, I could not pray as I normally do. Just an intercession. Lord, save that person. Save that person. I had to pray differently in order to express to God how desperate I am and we should be to see souls plucked out, amen, of the judgment. And be ready for the coming of Christ. And I know this is the heart of God. So I know I prayed in His will. And I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do for the people that He's going to visit. And He's going to allow events to occur to bring them into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So some of them may be negative, but if it brings them into the kingdom, it's going to turn into a positive very quickly. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I used to pray when I first got saved. I said, Lord, if you see me headed the wrong way, please intervene. Please stop me. Don't let me wander from your presence and get bound up out there and blinded by sin. Help me to stay free and live free for you. He's done it all of these years, and because I'm serious about my soul. Hallelujah. Brother Taylor, would you come and lead us before the throne tonight? We'll sing right where you are, because there's just a handful of us here tonight. But I'm glad this handful is here tonight. Let me tell you what amen. You know what the Bible said about the handful that is here tonight? The Bible said that where two or more of you gather together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. If there's 10,000 in his name, he promised to show up. If there's 100 in his name, he promised to show up. And if there's 24 in his name, he promised to show up. He said, if there's two of you come together in my name, I'm coming to that meeting. And if he's going to be in the meeting tonight, we're going to have church in just a little while. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just give the Lord a hand clap. Come on. Let's give the Lord some praise before we talk to him tonight. Father, we thank you tonight for your great love, your mercy. Thank you for your kindness, Lord. And Lord, you're not willing that any should perish, Lord, but that all should come to repentance, Lord. Lord, have your way tonight, Lord God. Stir our hearts tonight, Lord. We've come to seek your face tonight, Lord God. Samanda bakuta la basura bahaya. Move by thy spirit tonight, Lord. Let your divine will be done in this service, Lord. We want you to be pleased. Take complete control of this service, Lord. Meet every need this present, Lord God. Stir us up to do your will, Lord. We're living in the end time. You're coming soon, Lord, but you're coming after people that's ready to meet you, Lord. So, God, save souls, Lord. Meet every need this present tonight. We thank you for the victory, Father. And, Lord, we thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord God. Bless them, God. Have your way, God. Move by thy spirit. Thank you for the victory, Father. In Jesus' name and for the glory of God. Amen.
I want to read a couple of scriptures, and we're going to go to this video in just a moment. And then we're going to have a song, and then we're going to pray. I went to pray in the wee hours of the morning. And when I pray for everyone individually, and as I do, and I've told you that before, but I pray for your loved ones. I pray for people who have been raised in church and don't know Christ, have been raised in church and choose the world because they don't understand, they don't get it. If you really understood what's at stake and what's on the line, it wouldn't be just about going to church, it would be about coming to Jesus Christ. So much is on the line. And a scripture came to me that I've been quoting, and it's in the book of Jude. But before we get there, I want to read some scriptures that maybe will let you understand what that means. Some having compassion is going to make a difference, a distinction. And others are going to be pulled out of the fire. And the only word that fits that is a burning piece of wood that's already, the flames are already on it. It's going to be consumed unless you remove it from the fire. It's already there. And the Bible said, Brother Taylor, that everyone that doesn't believe on Christ, because our sin is not forgiven and a holy God is obliged and obligated to judge that sin, that the wrath of God abides, is constant upon all. Now, he wants them all saved. Don't get me wrong. Wrath means justifiable anger. Justifiable anger. God is a holy God. We've sinned against him. He's justified. And in that anger, he has to judge in his righteous indignation. But in mercy, he wants to save. He said many times to Israel that he was having to let judgments fall upon them. He said, how many times would I have taken you under my wings as a mother hen does her chicks? And I put two ways before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. Why will you die, O house of Israel? And I remember when the days of Dave Wilkerson, my wife and I talked about it on the way home, that there was a young man that had been delivered from hallucinogenic drugs. There's all kinds of drugs out there, but the drug in that day that was real prominent among young people was LSD, and he was dropping acid, as they called it. And His girlfriend had picked her up and had bought some of this drug, and they were driving down the road. And young lady said this morning, I want to be clean, and I assume that means anything in our life that is things like that that bind us and blind us. And on the way home, he had heard the gospel. He had a background that he had been in church, but he never saw it. His mama saw it, his daddy saw it. But he never saw it. He sat in Sunday school. He went to church. He listened to songs like this. But he never saw what they saw. And in order for God to wake him up, because he had heard the gospel story, but he was unresponsive, indifferent to it. Like so many of I got grandchildren that are impervious to the gospel. They've heard it. They've come to funerals where they've heard it, of family members, but they have not responded to the call. Well, his family was praying for him, and God wanted to get through to him at the road he was on and where it was going to lead. That's a loving act of God to do that. So he said, he picked up his girlfriend. She went ahead and took the sugar cube and that way was getting the LSD, and she began to hallucinate and whatever, and he put on some heavy metal stuff, and she got to just going like that to the music. He was driving. He wanted to wait till they got where they were going for him to take the drug, so he wasn't hallucinating. And he said he looked over at her, just glanced over at her as the music was blaring and the drug was beginning to kick in. And he saw what he interpreted as her soul. Not her body, but her soul. He saw past the body into the soul. And he said it looked like a skeleton that had just bits of flesh upon it. It looked like death. You know what the Bible said about everyone that's here, right here in this room, if you don't know Christ as your Savior? It says we're dead while we live. We're dead in trespasses and sins. So Jesus didn't, religion is not just about making bad people good, but dead men alive. Can you say, man, he that hath the Son hath life, praise God, and life more abundantly. The thief came to steal. We're not just talking about your stuff, darling. We're not just talking about stealing from you in terms of your health or something. We're talking about your soul. What he wants is more than your health. What he wants is more than you breaking up your marriage. What he wants is your soul. Make no mistake about it. It's the only thing that he can do after being kicked out of heaven to hurt God. Is to steal the soul of any man, woman, boy, or girl. If he is able to do that, it breaks God's heart. So God moved to open the eyes of this young man and let him see evil. Let him see the road he was on and where it was going. And he took his girlfriend, dropped her off at her parents. He went home and he didn't drop acid that night. He came to Jesus Christ that night and said, if this road leads where it's taking us, I don't want to be on that road. And then he witnessed to his girlfriend. She saw the change in him. And sometimes they take off. Somebody said, well, I have to give up my flaky friends if I come to Christ. No, come to Christ and they'll give you up. Can you say, man? They'll either come to him or they'll let you go. But you can't put your soul in jeopardy for any person or anything. This is too important. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 33 and verse 14, it talks about hypocrisy among the covenant people. And it said the sinners that are in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has seized the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? In other words, if you're not truly right with God, you certainly should be concerned about the judgment of God. Can you say, man? Let me read a couple of more scriptures quickly. Amos. Judgments came in the land. After all of the preaching, judgments fell. But these judgments were not to hurt them, even though it was painful. It was to help them. If God didn't move to chastise them, they would have went into complete idolatry. And they would have been lost forever. but he wanted to save them. And he said, I overthrew some of you, as God overthrew in Amos chapter 5 and verse 11. I think it's 5, no, 4 in verse 11. Amos 4 and 11. I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning. In one scripture it said, except there were left unto us a very small remnant. We had been as Sodom and we had been as Gomorrah. The judgment would have consumed us. I remember that I was running from God. And every time I got by myself, and some of your kids when they're around you and some of your loved ones may act like they don't care, but you get by yourself and someone praying for you, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And every time I got by myself and got alone and away from my drinking buddies and all of that party crowd, when I got by myself, conviction would come upon me. I got concerned about my soul, and that's a good thing to be concerned about your soul. Because this is the short time we're in right now. You're down here for just a little while. Believe me, I'm 65. You say, oh, Lord, that's way off. Honey, you're going to be there before you know it. Take it from me. It won't take long to get there. This thing is a, you ain't 65. What you talking about? She said, I'm 35, and I got here really quick. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, you look up one day and you're middle-aged. It runs quick. It's quick. It's fast. Our children grow up fast. Amen. Listen carefully. Amen. He said, except there were left a very small remnant, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah. God's wrath would have totally consumed us, but he in his mercy, he drew us. And he said, but yet you have not returned unto me. Amen. The judgments came and you're still hell-bent to go your way. I believe. And when I went to pray last night, God said, I want to save. I want to answer that prayer more than you want it answered. Because I understand better than you understand the awful plight and destiny of the lost. And he said, pray whatever it takes. So I want to be released to do whatever it takes. If I have to let them see the devil, if I let them fear come upon them that shakes them from their head to their feet, if love doesn't draw them, let fear shake them, but for somehow, some way, save them. Because we see them come up in Sunday school and go the way of the world. I did that. I came up in Sunday school and church and went the way of the world. I would come home from work. I took Benzedrine at work. I would come home from work and to get the bennies out of me. And I did it for peace count. It wasn't fun getting highs. It was a job, and I could work and draw peace count and really do well on my job because I was taking uppers. But then I couldn't sleep as tired as I was after the shift. And the uppers made me work harder than my own body could. I would sweat. It was just anyway, my foreman bought them for us so that we could turn out this big work thing. He was an alcoholic and taking pills as well. But I couldn't sleep then. So I kept whiskey underneath my seat, sipping whiskey that I could drink without a chaser. And I drank that on the way home. By the time I got home, the whiskey had counteracted the Benzedrine. My heart rate would slow down and I could drift off into sleep. It wasn't a party. It was a way of life. But it was a very dangerous way of life. Because one day in the winter, after working about 12 or 14 hours, I don't remember which, under the influence of the uppers, I was coming home, cold weather, and about... I don't know, 7:30 in the morning, somewhere like that. My grandmother was awakened out of a dead sleep, and the Lord spoke to her heart and said, Bobby's in trouble. Go pray right now. Right now, intercede. And she went in the bathroom, jumped on her knees. There was a lady visiting her that she tried not to wake up and didn't. And she was praying, and I got two blocks from home when I fell asleep at the wheel. The whiskey that I was sipping counteracted the drug that... I went fast by, and when I came down, I never knew when I went to sleep until I hit a power pole. And total to 59 Plymouth. If I'd hit it dead on instead of a glancing blow, it would have, I had no seatbelt on. It would have threw me through the windshield. It would have killed me instantly, and I would have been into eternity. I wouldn't be here preaching to you tonight. I'd be somewhere, though. Forever. And forever is a long time. And no sin in this world is worth spending forever in banishment and from God in punishment for my sin. No sin. No anything that this world has to offer or the person has to offer. I love my wife. If someone come in and threatened her, I'd stand between them. I would take a bullet. I would take a knife. I would die right now for her without a second thought. I love her that much. But I will not sell my soul for my wife. Amen? This is different. The love I have for her and the love I have for God for saving me. He didn't have to save me. I was running from Him instead of to Him. I drove two blocks home with a total car and it quit in the yard and sold it for junk. Because I didn't want DUI. I knew if the cops came, it was driving under the influence. And I didn't want that to happen. And I didn't even think about my soul until the next week. The next week I'm driving home. And what I did to get rid of conviction is I turned on some real heavy, heavy, hard metal rock and roll. And just tried to get that conviction or thinking about eternity off of me. I was pushing God away. But this night I hadn't flipped on my radio yet. And God spoke to me. And He said, if you really don't want me, I won't bother you anymore. I don't believe that was my last call, but that was my wake-up call. I did not want to be lost. I just wanted to come to Christ when it was convenient, when I'd had all my FUN. Oh, by the way, when I got too much alcohol, fell down in that freezer where I selected frozen food, hit my head or hit my nose or busted my lip and bloodied myself, that's fun. That's supposed to be fun. Can you say, man, that's fun? This is so much fun. Honey, I never knew what joy was till I met Jesus. Can you say, man, I done been on the other side. I know what's over on the other side. You ain't missing nothing if you ever really come to know Christ as your personal Savior. Praise God. He said, if you don't want me to bother you anymore, I won't. But if you go off the road tonight, you're on your own. And I cried out, I called my daddy when I got home. Amen. And I said, Dad, where are they having church this week somewhere? Amen. Nowhere. It was in the middle of the week, but they were having a revival. And why, Mama? I said, a revival? And I'm going. Praise God. Amen. I went to why, Mama. I wanted to come to the Lord. I wanted my soul saved. I didn't want Him to leave me alone. The fear of the Lord gripped my heart. And it was a good thing. Praise God. Because it was an act of the Lord. Zechariah 3 and verse 1 said, Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. This is another Joshua. This is a high priest. Listen. And the Lord said unto Satan, The Lord rebuke you, Satan, who has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is this not a brand? Everybody say brandy. Brandy is burnt wine. They burn and scorch wine to make brandy from it. That's why they call it brandy wine. Because a brand is a piece of wood that's on fire. You can call it a fire brand or a brand. But said, isn't Israel not a brand plucked out of the fire? I'm a merciful God. Amen. The judgment is all over them, but I want to deliver them. Satan's going to resist anybody who intercedes for those whom God wants to deliver. But God said, though they deserve the fires of judgment, though that fire is kindled already on them, I want to set them free. And I rebuke you, Satan, for trying to oppose someone who's interceding for my covenant people. Isn't it good to know that God stands up and rebukes the devil when we stand up and intercede for lost people? Hallelujah. 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 I get kind of excited about this. I prayed last night, save the lost at any cost. And I'm expecting some things to happen in lives that are going to rock on the way they're rocking unless God intervenes somehow. But I believe God's going to intervene because He loves the lost. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Let's go over real quick to the book of Jude. Verse 22. There's only one chapter in Jude. Significant verse of Scripture. And it says, and on some have compassion, making a difference or a distinction. But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Can you see that act of God? Amen. Sometimes it takes being gripped with mortal fear in order to get some people's attention of how much they need Jesus. Because this is not just about going to church. This is about where we're going to spend eternity. Can you say amen? This is about where we're going. If your kids that are lost knew what you know about heaven and hell, they wouldn't play with their soul. There was a young man recently, I think he was 17 years old, just last week. It keeps happening. It happened in Plant City about a year ago. They were upstairs drinking in an apartment, and they were playing Russian roulette. You put one bullet in the chamber, you spin the chamber, put it to your head, and click it. 17-year-old young man. What are people thinking? Amen. The odds are one out of six that you're going to die. And you're willing to take the risk. And it went off and he's dead. Playing a game that's just nothing less than stupid. It's not just your life that's on the line. It's your soul. Don't play with this. This is not a play thing. This is not I'll get saved when I'm ready. Because you may not have the opportunity. When your heart stops, it stops. And there are people that have went somewhere and came back and saw things that changed them. And I believe that we need to see in the spirit, if we don't see it in the vision, we need to see the awful plight of the lost. I don't believe we can play church and play games with this thing. Eternity is forever. And it's in your Bible. How many know there's two places to go? Keep praying for Joel Osteen. I prayed for him last night as I prayed for you. Because he has a platform to reach tens of thousands of people. But he's publicly stated, I do not mention sin or hell. People come in, they need to be lifted up. No, people come in, they need to be saved. Can you say amen? And they need to hear the truth. Paul said, I've not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, I'm pure from what? The blood of all men. If someone in this congregation goes to hell, they can't say that Brother Venable didn't tell them the truth. Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me? I'm not here to be embraced and applauded. Amen. I'm here as a messenger. I told the Lord last night, make my tongue the pen of a ready writer. You tell me what to say, and I will say it. If it's your truth, can you say amen? I will not say it ashamedly. I will not back up on it. I will not look at people's faces to see how you're receiving it, because somebody loves your soul. Somebody cares not about the number count or the applause or embrace of men, but they care about where you're going to spend eternity. Can you say amen? And I want to see you in heaven, and God wants to see you in heaven, and Christ came so you can go to heaven. Hallelujah. And Billy Graham said, a man's not really prepared to live until he's prepared to die. And oh, I used to pray that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep when I was a child. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take and lay my head down on that pillow and go to sweet sleep. Praise God, it's a win-win. If I wake up here, Christ is with me. If I wake up in heaven, I'm with Jesus. It's a win-win, and I don't have to worry about it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Some are pulled out of the fire. Intercession has to be What does that? You know what got to me? My dad's pastor, who was soon to become my pastor, I didn't realize it. He called my dad. He said, "Bob, God told me to tell you whatever you wanted, whatever you needed, he was going to do for you." Of course, Dad had stomach problems since he was about 16 years old, his whole life. And he said, "I started to ask for healing, but I stopped and said, my son is lost. He's away from God and he needs to be saved." Amen. He said, "Well, let's pray for him." They prayed for me. And that's when all this stuff began to occur. By the way, when I got home that night, that I decided that I've got to come to Christ. Amen. The lights were on at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. And Pamela had watched King of Kings, an old campy movie. It was really, looking back at it now, but it was the gospel. And God used that movie to convict her heart. She had done threw away her cigarettes. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. I used to throw them away and then go get them again. See where I threw them. Amen. I told people I can quit anytime I want. I must have quit 100 times. Can you say amen? Amen. But when Jesus came in, it all changed. Praise God. God had saved my wife, and God was in the process of saving me because somebody interceded for my soul. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, a brand for burning. Hallelujah, that's pulled out of the fire. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, "I came to pull you out of the fire." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. John Wesley's father was a dedicated pastor, but there were those in his parish that did not like him, and they threatened him all the time. On February 9th, 1709, a fire broke out in the rectory or parsonage as we know it today. Two-story building, possibly set by one of his enemies. He had 8 kids. 7 of them got out with their dad and mom. But there's one kid in the upper level that was still in that burning building. Young John was not yet 6 years old, but was trapped in an upper floor. 2 neighbors rescued him. One stood on the other's shoulder. They didn't have a ladder, but one stood on the other's shoulder and pulled John through a window, literally pulling him out of the fire. And as soon as they pulled John out, John Wesley, great preacher, that roof fell in and the whole house was consumed in a ball of fire. John often referred to himself after that as a firebrand plucked out of the fire. John Newton captured this truth in a poem. John Newton, he said, "Struck dumb and left without a plea, I heard my gracious Savior say, 'No, Satan, this sinner, set free. Died to take his sin away. This brand, firebrand, say it with me, firebrand, this brand which I love." Hallelujah. "To save from wrath and sin's design, in vain thy accusations prove. I answer all and call him mine. Now, Satan, thou hast lost thy name. Against this brand thy threats are vain. Jesus plucked it from the flame, and who shall put it in again?" Can you say, man? John Newton said, "I'm a firebrand, plucked out of the fire." Some people are going to hear the gospel. Their heart is going to melt, and having compassion on them is going to make a difference. But others are going to be like firebrands plucked out of the fire. But I'm going to tell you, whether you come to him because your heart melts or because you're scared out of your skin and your sin, amen, we're all going to be in heaven together when this thing winds up if you come to Jesus. Can you say amen? So I said last night, I said, "Lord, whatever it takes, shake the lost people in our families." Hey, amen. They've heard the gospel. They're impervious to it. Let them see the evil of the one that's leading them. Let them see sin for what it is, Satan for what he is, and Jesus for what he is. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dr. Ronald Whitaker was not only a doctor of medicine, he's a PhD. He is also an alcoholic and an addict. He was also an atheist, an intellectual, that didn't believe there was a God. There is no heaven, no hell, no God. But his firebrand, a firebrand. There's a Ronald Short here. It's not our Ronald, but there's another Ron. That one man, one Christian man that he ridiculed became the man that God used to pluck him out of the fire. To others, doing what? Everybody say, pull him. We're getting ready to... Anybody ever seen a tug of war? Two teams get together and maybe there's a mud puddle in the middle. Everybody pulling. You not only lose, you get pulled into the mud. Well, we're going to have a little tug of war in just a little while with the devil for our lost loved ones and lost people. We're going to win. You know why? Because there's a big guy on our team. Can you say, man? We got the big guy on our team, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We used to have tug of war. We didn't have Nintendo. We played other games. Red Rover, let whoever come over. We try to stop them from running through. We made up games. Amen. My wife used to mash lightning bugs and put it on her finger to make her ring shine. I mean, kids do things to amuse themselves. I notice there's not many lightning bugs left here in Florida. Fireflies. Hallelujah. Dr. Ronald Whitaker. God plucked him out of the fire because of one Christian that he ridiculed that just lived the faith. Hallelujah. I believe you're going to understand where we're going in prayer. You ready for this tonight? Praise. Are you ready to have a tug of war that we can't lose? Praise God for the souls that God wants to save.
It was February of 1975. At that time, I was an alcoholic out of control. I was also using recreation drugs, but primarily alcohol was my drug of choice. And I totally was out of control. And I had a lot of friends in the entertainment business, and Hoyt Axton happened to be one of them, Ringo Starr and a bunch of people. And so they were having a TV special on the West Coast. And so Hoyt had called me and asked me if I would like to go or come out. And I told him, yeah, I would love to, because I knew there was going to be a lot of booze. I knew there was going to be partying. And while they were doing their special, I was doing my thing. And so after about 3 or 4 days out there, I became ill. And by ill, I mean I had a severe pain in my abdomen. I flew into Oklahoma City and called a senator friend of mine and told him I had to have a car because I was ill, I was sick. So they sent a car and they took me home, and I checked into the hospital at Wadley Hospital in Texarkana in February of 1975. I checked in with electrolytes, which means my potassium, my chlorides, and various chemicals were so far out of balance that they had to give me IVs to build me up. Now, at that time in my life, I was an atheist. I was a hardcore atheist and was living for myself. Atheists are self-centered and they live for themselves. And this is where I found myself in 1975 in the hospital. And they took 3 days and then they operated me. And when they operated me, I found myself in intensive care. I woke up on a respirator, which means they were breathing for me. I couldn't speak, but I had been laying there in a coma, and I had heard these people talk about how sick I was and how I was going to die and how I wouldn't get out of the hospital. And at that time my hair was very, very long, because I just wore my hair long. And I heard one guy say, his hair is long, and another guy said, not nearly as long as it's going to be before he gets out of here. And a third voice said, he's not going to get out of here. He's going to die. And after 3 days, I could breathe on my own. And I remember my doctor, my surgeon, a guy by the name of Donald Duncan, he told me, he says, Don, if you have anything to get right, if you have anything to get signed, you get it done, because we're not sure. We're not sure how long you have. So I knew. See, I had a condition that was called acute hemorrhagic necrotic pancreatitis. You don't live with this disease. Now, you can live with pancreatitis. You can even live with acute pancreatitis. But you do not live with acute hemorrhagic necrotic pancreatitis. Duncan had told my two sons that I would be dead before morning. They didn't expect me to survive. And, I'm laying there. Now, I'm a professed atheist. And when I say a professed atheist, I didn't believe in God. I believed in the power of the universe because I'd seen it. I'd seen it, life and death. As a physician, I dealt with life and death. I believed in something, but don't talk to me about God, and surely don't talk to me about a resurrection or a virgin birth or this type of thing, because I am in research science. PhDs in research science, the majority of them do not believe in God. They do not believe in a supreme being. They believe, and they're beginning now to believe, that there is order in the universe, because as we get farther and farther along, we see the order. But I was an atheist. Now see, it's very easy to be an atheist when you're successful. You have worked your way from Oklahoma welfare to being one of the most powerful men in your part of the country, one of the most powerful men in the state of Oklahoma in relationship to political. It's very easy to be an atheist when you have done all of that. Man can sit back and say, I don't need God. What is God? But it's very difficult to be an atheist when you're laying on your deathbed, because you begin to think, what if these people are right? See, there'd been one man by the name of Ron Short that has stood between me and the gates of hell. One man that had witnessed to me about the love of Jesus for 5 years before I became ill. One man. And, I would debate him. And I liked him because he did what he said he was going to do. I mean, he was the only one that I saw that professed to be Christian that lived what he said he was going to do. And so I really respected him. I didn't believe what he said, but I respected him. But when I'm laying on my deathbed and knowing that I'm going to die, guess who I thought about? I thought about, what if Ron is right? What if there is a heaven and a hell? And so immediately, the most pressing thought in my mind is, how do I get saved? What is saved? What is saved? How do I get saved? And so I sent them for Ron Short. I wanted him to come down. Because I wanted him to do ever what he had to do. I had no idea. How can a man hanging on a tree in Israel 2,000 years ago, what is that to me? But I knew that he had something that I had to have. And that night, see, I had him go for Ron, but Ron wasn't home. Ron was in Alabama. And so I had him go and send for Ron. And that night was the longest night that I've ever had in my entire life. Before our sets. And that night is, as I would be laying there in bed, as I'm laying there in bed, I would begin to fade away. I would begin to fade away, and as I would fade away, I would begin to go down. Now, it was like darkness. It was so, so dark. It was like the very darkness just penetrated into your very, very being. And as I left, and I can tell you I left my body because I remember when I came back into my body. I don't know where I was out of my body. Now there are people that talk about a light. There are people that talk about floating above. There are people that talk about a feeling of warmth and love. I didn't feel any of that. I felt none of that. I felt untold terror. Untold terror. Because I knew that if I ever went all the way, if I slipped all the way, I would never get back. Now, in my beings of beings, I knew that. And so I fought all night long. They told me later on, I not only pulled the mattress cover off of the mattress, I pulled the mattress up on me because I had to stay. I had to wait. I had to wait till Ron got there. whatever he had to do, I had to wait. But I would, again, and then I would leave, and I would be going down like a deep, deep, dark terror. Now, my skin began to get cold. Now, it's not like cold when you walk out into the air. It's like bone chilling cold in my lower extremities, and you can feel the coldness begin to come up the legs. And again, I would begin to leave. Now, and I would be in that darkness, and I'd be in that void. And I remember one time entering back in my body, because when I entered my body, it was like, just like that. I felt my body thud, my physical body thud when I entered back in. Now, believe me, that is the most horrifying, terrifying experience that I've ever encountered. And I fought all night long, and the next morning, somewhere 9:30, 10 o'clock, in came Ron. And Ron came in and he says, "Dr. Whitaker, what do they say is your chances?" I said, "Ron, they tell me I have none." He says, "Now's the time." And I said, "You're right." I mean, I'd cursed him, I'd spit at him, but now was the time, because I had to have whatever he had, because I had a short period of time on Earth, and I didn't know, have any idea when I might make that trip and go all the way. At that time, Ron led me simply in the sinner's prayer. Now, I had no idea what the sinner's prayer was, but I trusted Ron. But he led me in the sinner's prayer and told me that Jesus had died for my sins. He had died for the sins of the world. I didn't quite understand that, but I knew, you know, he showed me in the Word of God where it said that. Now, you have to understand, I'm a man of books. I've spent a big part of my life, 25, 26 years of my life, in books, in, you know, all types of scientific books. Chemistry, like I said, degree in chemistry, advanced degrees, all the way out to the medicine doctor to practice medicine, all of these degrees. So he told me, and I believed him, because it's in this book, and it was a new book unto me, and it was called the Bible. And so I let Ron lead me in the sinner's prayer, and I said the sinner's prayer after him. And I can tell you one thing. There was a peace that came over me like I had never known. I'd searched for that peace. I'd searched for it in the bottles, alcohol. I'd searched for it in needles. I'd searched for it in drugs. I'd searched for it with women. I'd searched for it all types of places. But there was no peace in my life. But once I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I was no longer afraid. I still believed I was going to die, because I knew the condition I had is that you do not survive it. I knew that. I'm a physician. I knew what I had, you did not survive. And he shows me in the Word of God, it says, "These signs shall follow those that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." I walk around on planet Earth this day, taking no insulin, taking no enzymes, eating whatsoever that I might, and God produces in my body every day the correct material for me to function without having to take medication. You know, when you see blind eyes open, you see the cripples walk, you see the leopards cleansed, and you see them with your own eyes, you know, you see that, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that, you know, the Bible is true.
I want you to stand right where you are tonight. I'm going to ask a serious question. If you're here without Jesus, I want you to come right now. If God is calling you, if God isn't calling you, then we won't waste any more time in that area. But if God is calling you and you want to go to heaven and you want to know you're going to heaven, I want you to come. I want you to come if God is calling you tonight. If you're away from God, I want you to come back. Is there anyone in this room? This is a golden opportunity, because you have time. You have time. You have time. You have time. And it can make a difference. Hallelujah. How many will pray with me, whatever it takes? whatever it takes, because obviously it's going to take more than what we're seeing right here tonight. It's going to take. That's why I couldn't just pray, Lord, save them. Lord, visit them. Lord, shake them. Lord, wake them up to their need tonight. I saw your children hardened by sin, their ears not listening to anything God is saying. I saw them. I saw my children in the same condition. And I said, Lord, whatever it takes. I believe that doctor had that experience because a man named Ron Short kept praying for him. Can you say, man? I believe a man that would testify to him for 5 years was interceding for him. And I believe it's through intercession that firebrands are plucked out of the fire. Because a piece of wood on fire can't deliver itself from being consumed. But somebody that stands in the gap can pull that piece of wood out of that fire. Can you say, man? And I don't know about you, but I got to praying last night and I got to doing some pulling of people out of the fire. How many want your kids saved tonight? Your loved ones saved tonight? Well, they're going to have to be pulled out because they're not walking out of it. They're not afraid of it. But I want the fear of the Lord to fall upon them. Can you say amen? Because I don't want to see them go to hell. Is that all right with you tonight? I want God to bother them big time, like he bothered me big time. It got my attention. It plucked me out of that place of destruction. Can you say amen? Some of you Christians here tonight used to know what this was all about. Hallelujah. You used to take it seriously and live the life. And you need to take it serious again because nothing has changed but you. Hallelujah. Purge us. Purge us until we can win souls. Purge us until Holy Ghost conviction can fall in this place. I'd rather have 5 people left when the purging is over that loves Jesus. God can take that 5 and multiply us. Hallelujah. 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 I want to get in a tug of war right now. I want you to pray for your loved ones. If you care about your children, pray for them tonight. If you care about your grandchildren, pray for them. If you care about your co-workers, pray for them. If you care about their soul, pray for them. Have you got a prayer to offer? Can you even pray? Have you drifted that far from God that you can't even pray for the lost? If you can't pray for the lost, then you need to pray for yourself. If you can't pray for their soul, I'm deeply concerned about your soul tonight. It's time you turned off HBO. It's time you got rid of the things of the world and got your mind on where you're headed and where everybody else around you is headed. Because you sure can't stay here. Nobody in this room is going to stay here. Whether you're young or old, you can't stay here. You're headed somewhere. They're headed somewhere. And the somewhere you're headed is forever. And the somewhere they're headed is forever. So I don't know what you're going to pray for your kids, but I'll tell you what I'm praying for them. I said, Lord, whatever it takes, shake them up. Whatever it takes, wake them up. Whatever it takes, bring them into your kingdom. Don't let them be lost. Hallelujah. Because I care more for their soul than their smile. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to wrestle with the devil for the souls of men and women, boys and girls. Praise God. I'm going to intercede. As long as I have breath, I'm going to pray. Someone prayed for me, and that's why I'm in the kingdom. Somebody prayed for you, and that's why you're in the kingdom. Hallelujah. I'm so sick and tired of preachers with no passion, no compassion, no concern for souls, eyes with no tears. Men pleasers that don't care whether you go to hell or not, as long as they get your money and your support. Surely they will account to God for the blood of every lost man, woman, boy, and girl. But it won't bring those girls and boys back. It won't bring those men and women back. Shekanana baho solaba salabarianda dabukosadabaditi nanda dabaroshala. We soft pedaled a gospel that was sent to save. Handa bakosilia. We watered down a word that was brought to convict. Mokoloba, when he is come, the Holy Spirit, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness. Hallelujah. Felix trembled when Paul preached. There are people in this room that don't even tremble at the thought of being lost. But God isn't through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray God visit you. I pray God visit you. I pray God visit you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are people in hell tonight that would love your opportunity if they just had 20 seconds to get saved. Just 20 seconds to pray the sinner's prayer. Hallelujah. 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 Shake us, O God. Shake us, O God. Purge us, O God. Purge us, O God. Hallelujah. We need a move of your Spirit more than we need people in this building and finances in the bank. We need a move of your Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know what you were doing last night, but at 2 o'clock this morning, I was praying for your children, your grandchildren, my grandchildren. I don't want them to go to hell. How about you? What's your example, daddy, mother, grandpa, grandma? Shelabaki sola manana. Salabaki tianda dabata. Brother Taylor, I want my son to know how real this is. I want him to know by my life what's really important. Not because I'm a preacher, but because I'm a saved man. I'm a saved man. I'm a saved man. Hallelujah. Jesus is more important than fortune. He's more important than fame. He's more important than the applause of men. He's more important than anything in this world or universe. Hallelujah. And I want my life to reflect that. You that are on the fence tonight, you need to get off of it. It's not just you. If you don't care about your soul, care about their soul. Did you hear what I'm telling you tonight? If you don't care about your kid's soul, care about your soul. If you don't care about your grandkid's soul, your soul, care about their soul. If you don't care about your soul. Empty altars. Sin and compromise and empty altars. Empty. No matter what God says. Empty. We just won't bow. Dead set. to live like we're living, even though we know it's wrong. You know what is happening to your heart? I would run to the mercy seat. You know why, if I were you? Because every time you resist the Holy Spirit's call, a callus grows on your heart. And it's become so callous that nothing moves you anymore. Nothing! You can sit on your couch and watch that R-rated movie and not care about a soul in the world, not even your own. That's how callous. You can go to your job and not give a holy hoot about the people around you that are bound for hell. It doesn't concern you in the least. You can fill your belly and fill your life with what pleasures you, because your heart's becoming calloused. And tonight another callous is for me. What's it going to take to get your attention? It's clear your pastor can't. It's clear the Holy Spirit hasn't been able to. It's clear nothing in the Bible affects you anymore. What's it going to take to get your attention? You think your heart's going to beat just like it is forever? You think your kidneys are going to work just like they are forever? You think your pancreas is going to do its job forever? Do you think that's going to happen in your body as you age? I pray God visit you and wake you up. I pray God visit you and shake you up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you. I prayed last night and I was praying my normal intercessions. And God said, pray differently because nothing is affecting them. Nothing is affecting them. They don't fear God and they don't fear eternity without God. So I began to pray differently and I said, Lord, shake them. If it takes fear, let it come. Don't let them be comfortable on their way to hell. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. I work for Tampa Electric, as Terry knows. He and I relate to that. When I went out on a line crew, Terry, there was a story in our yard. True story. Tampa Electric sees a lot of things because we're out and about in communities all the time. Worked with them for over 5 years. And he said he saw a house on fire, engulfed in flame. He wondered if anyone was inside. He ran up. There was no screen door. And he opened that screen door and flew it open. And he said, is there anybody in here? As the smoke began to fill the house and the flames were coming up, same situation. There was a man who was so inebriated on alcohol, he had went to sleep and his cigarette had set his bed on fire. He had got out of the bed, but he couldn't find his way out of the house. He had stumbled and fallen. And he was so out of it, he was so inebriated, that when this man went in to pull him out, he cursed him and fought back instead of letting him pull him out. But this is a pretty big dude that went in to get him. So he overrode his cursing because he knew, I ain't going to let this man burn up because he cursed me. And he don't know what he's doing. He's too drunk to know. I'm going to pull him out of here. I'm going to pull him out of here. If I have to knock him out. Hey, man, you know what? When I was very young, I wanted to be a lifeguard at one time. And I was a good swimmer. And I was in my young teens. And one thing they taught you, and I didn't get to become no lifeguard. I got married and all those other things went. I had to make a living. But you know what they said? Said, if you go out to get somebody and they begin to fight you in panic, if you have to, if you can, knock them out. And pull them unconscious to the shore or they'll drown you with them. They'll take you down. You better know what you're doing when you go out into the deep and somebody's panic drowning, or you'll both drown. I'm going to tell you something. This guy is ready to clock him. Amen. But he got him, and he drug him by the back of the shirt out down the steps, bang, 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 and into that front yard. And when that man saw what had happened the next day, knew how close to eternity he was, he called Tampa Electric and said, "I need the name of the man that pulled me out of that burning house. I'm so sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. I heard that I did this and that. I didn't know. I want to thank him. I want to thank him for pulling me out of that fire." Can you say amen? Honey, not many people thank me for preaching like this, but if one person is pulled out of the flames, amen, they're going to be glad they came to a church where somebody cared for their eternal soul. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 This is a church that God is purging. This is a church that God is shaking, and this is a church that God is shaping tonight. I hope you find time this week to pray for your lost loved ones. Because if we don't do it, Brother Taylor, who's going to do it? Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to make up the hedge? Shalabakisa, if God can save an atheist and an intellectual and an alcoholic and an addict, he can save our flaky family. Somebody give him praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 If I was doing this by myself, tugging, and the devil tugging back, I'd get exhausted. But when I begin to tug in prayer, the mighty one of Israel stands up and he takes hold of that same rope. Can you say amen? In fact, all I have to do is just keep praying. I don't have to pull anymore. He does the heavy stuff. Heavy, heavy G. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God is in the soul-saving business. I believe we're going to see some people visited. I believe we're going to see some changes. I don't know what it's going to take, but God does. On some, having compassion will distinguish and make a difference. Hallelujah. But others are as firebrands pulled out of the fire. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Can you play that song we just had one more time? I want you to stand with me. Now, are you glad you came? I get real passionate. Please don't mistake it as anger toward anybody. I just want to see the flesh defeated and Satan defeated and sin defeated and people saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want to see my family serving God. I want to see my grandson come to know Jesus. I want to see my son in church with his guitar praising Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to see my daughter-in-law saved. Hallelujah. But somebody's going to have to. Somebody's going to have to pull some people. Can you say me? I don't mean try to make them come to church. I'm talking about getting them into God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I don't know about you, but just a little while ago, if I wasn't a Christian, I would have run. I would have come running to the mercy seat. Hey, man, let's play that one more time, because that seat exists. Not just here on earth in type, but in heaven. Jesus had to go there after the cross. He didn't go to hell after the cross. After 3 days, he ascended from paradise to sprinkle his blood on the mercy seat in heaven. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we give you praise. Let's just give him a wave offering tonight.
In the darkness,
Jesus,
where everything is unknown.
Jesus.
I face the power,
Jesus,
of sin on my own.
Jesus.
I did not know of a place I could go.
Jesus.
Where I could find a way to heal my wounds.
Somebody's going to hear the gospel. Somebody's going to be saved tonight. Hallelujah.
He said that I could come into his presence without fear, into the holy place where his mercy hovers.
Come running.
I'm running. I'm running. I'm running.
you, Lord, for a mercy seat tonight. Thank you, Lord.
Are you living where hope is not then? You're lost in the curse of a lifetime of sin.
Revival in the land. It's not ancient history. God is calling, and people are running to Him.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm so glad for the mercy seat. I'm so glad there is a place to run. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad to be saved tonight. Blessed be His name. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Shanda da basona na masitia salaba kiti anda da basolaba handa da baroshanda da basitia. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Shekaraba roshala salaba kiti anda da bosataya. It's a mighty revival in South Africa. There's a mighty revival in South America. There's a mighty revival in some churches in the United States, where the gospel is preached and people are running to the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what one missionary said? And that's why we're reaching out from here. No man deserves to hear the gospel twice until every man has heard the gospel once. Amen. The Jesus that's being rejected right here will be so gladly received by someone that needs Him, that loves Him, that understands what He's done for them. Praise God. Oh God, let us reach out to the north, the south, the east, and the west. I get discouraged with empty altars. But when I think of people hearing a message like this and coming to Jesus in Argentina, I get excited, Brother Taylor. I get discouraged when no one bows here But when I think of someone in Indiana coming to Jesus, I get excited. Can you say amen? I feel like running with the gospel. Hallelujah. 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 Right here, I watch people push Jesus away. But I think of somebody in the Netherlands coming to Christ, and I get excited. I've never been excited watching people backslide. I never learned to act like it was okay. But you show me a hungry heart. You show me somebody that wants Jesus, and I get excited. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. But last night, as I interceded, I felt excitement in spite of the pushing away. Because God reminded me, you used to push me away. And I said, yeah, I did. He said, what happened to you? I said, somebody prayed for me and pulled me out of the fire. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I said, Lord, somebody's kid's going to get saved. I don't know when, what service, but someday, if we keep pulling, he's going to pull with us. Woo! Hallelujah! Oh, I feel him here tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I feel him here tonight. Put this on. Please put it on. I want to worship one more time. You can leave anytime you're ready. But I'm all fired up tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I didn't feel like a pastor just trying to get a church to come alive last night. I felt like a warrior. I felt like a soldier. Hallelujah. How many believe there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? How many are glad you're going to heaven tonight?